from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. We're broadcasting live. 94 WIP's Camp Comeback at the NovaCare Complex, driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier.
It's over, Joe. Dealership.
For locations, go to hitchrv.com. It is over. The Jalen Hurts interception streak is over.
I wasn't talking about that. The Rita's truck just left. It's over. That's it.
I mean, it's it, dude, Joe. There's a lot of Rita's in the area.
No, I'm just saying, but the free Rita's is gone.
That, you have to wait a year for that. All right, speaking of another thing ending, the Jalen Hurts streak is over. Elliot Shore Parks is calling, but today it's a sit-in brought to you by Cozy Jewelers. Step up to the fifth seat. That's Color Cut Clarity Carrot. And Cozy Elliott, welcome in on a day history is made and history ends.
Yeah, don't be sad it's over. Be happy it happened, right? I mean, you know, we got a chance over these last 16 days to see a historic performance, but yes, it did come to an end today, unfortunately.
All right, Elliott, take us into the play, what happened here. So today was probably the best view that we had during practice.
Yeah, good day for you
guys.
They
flipped
from here,
the field, and they were kind of coming at us or, you know, near us, and I saw it happen live. I just couldn't tell at first who the quarterback was because they rotate so much. But I saw the pick, and then I saw Jalen chasing, and I was like, oh, it had to be Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
So take us inside what happened, and then your emotions as someone who's chronicled this from day one.
Yeah, so it was early on in practice. Jalen entered the day with 301 consecutive attempts without an interception, smashing the record of 157, you know, previously. So it was the fourth attempt of practice. He dropped back. You know, I thought, you know, there was pressure, but he got rid of the ball, threw it over the middle, and Darius Slay just jumped right in front of it. In a game, it might have been a pick six. Darius took it all the way back, you know, into the other end zone. After the practice, Slay said that he did bait Jalen into it, and Jalen said that he jokingly said to him, it's about time. So, you know, I would say my heart dropped for sure when I saw the interception. You know, it wasn't something I was used to seeing. It was on the brink of the perfect training camp. Perfection, though, is hard to obtain.
Well, see, there's some rumors out there that, you know, maybe there was a little bit – there could have been a sack on that play. So how do you feel about that? Because there's some other guys reporting that it might have been a sack.
Do you need the film, or did you see it clearly live?
No, I mean, look, everyone can have their own interpretation of it. I'm the only one that gets to score it. So it was an interception.
Speak on it then.
It's what it is. It was an interception, yeah.
All right, also there's some conflicting reports. We had sources here actually come into our Hitch RV and – one source said that you handled it professionally.
Credible source.
Another source said you slammed your notebook down as if you were
super upset
that it was over.
Another credible source.
What happened?
I would just say I love my training camp notebook too much to ever put it in harm's way. I would never throw that thing on the ground. So, no, I did not throw it on the ground. Shout out to everyone at practice today that, you know, after the interception, immediately felt the need to come up and ask how I was feeling about it. A lot of fans there today, a lot of station listeners. So it was definitely a crazy moment for sure. But, no, the training camp notebook is safe for next year.
So you were on the field. We're in the RV. I sensed a buzz when it happened. I heard two buzzes today. One, Hurts rolled right in front of us and threw a touchdown to Gainwell.
Outstanding throw.
Great play.
Yeah.
And then the other one, like a kind of a crowd got into it, was the interception. Do you think the people felt the gravity of the moment?
Without question. I mean, I've been here every day, and walking from the media house, you know, into the practice field, a lot of people ask every day, you know, what's he at today? What's the interception thing? And I know there were some people out there that don't like the training camp stats and whatever. Here's the bottom line. If I would have told you before camp that Jalen was going to go 305 passes without an interception, I would have been laughed at. I would have been called a homer. I would have said there's no way that's going to happen. And that is exactly what happened. So whatever you think of the stats, the reality is Jalen had, you know, the best camp he probably could have asked for. The stock on Jalen is way up after this camp, and the Eagles have to feel they got the best possible camp they could have out of Jalen.
So you know, and we did an interview with Reed Blankenship today, and he basically alluded to the fact that, you know, they kind of knew about the training camp stats. So my question to you is this, Elliot. Like, you've had a lot of, like, haters. Let's just call it what they are. They're haters, and they hate the fact that you do the stats thing. But do you feel validated when you hear players know exactly the stats that you like to put out every day?
Yeah, I love it. I love it. I mean, Darius Slay said today that, you know, he knew it was – he said 200-plus, but it was obviously 300-plus coming into it. And, you know, when the quarterback goes – and, Hugh, I would be curious for your perspective on this. Like, when a quarterback goes 16 practices without an interception – that is something the defenders have to be aware of. That has to be something you're talking about in the meeting room. So I think it's cool. I think it's cool to hear them to get into the stats and everything.
All right, before we move on and talk about the other things, that now the camp is over and kind of a final stockwatch. Elliot, I'd be remiss not to point this out. I'm just curious if you think there's something to this or this is totally separate. I mean, Jalen Hurts has had a very nice college and pro career so far.
Yes.
But the reality is, in the biggest moments, he hasn't done it yet, right? He hasn't won a championship yet. And you look at some of the college games, he didn't play his best in the title game. He had a fumble in the Super Bowl. Do you think the pressure got to him today on the biggest stage?
Yo, it's a great question, Joe. I mean, I would say, you know, he did break the record. So he doesn't leave camp without anything. He now holds the record for consecutive passes in training camp without an interception. So he did accomplish that.
And did he finish strong after the interception?
He did, yeah. Okay. So today he finished 22 of 30, 3 touchdowns, obviously the interception. Whether it got to him, you know, I don't know. Clearly perfection is really hard. We saw the Patriots, arguably the best team we ever saw, lose the Super Bowl. The 72 Dolphins are the 72 Dolphins for a reason.
This is similar to the 07 Pats. Yeah,
I mean, in terms of disappointment too, right? So I don't think it got to him, no, but it just speaks to how hard it is to have the perfect camp. But if there's any bright side to this, it's now he has something to chase next year.
All right, Elliot, we've been doing camp stock watch, and a lot of what we have been talking about is based on what you've seen and what you've told us about at practice. Now that it's in the books, let's leave Jalen aside, right? We know what he did.
Stock up on Jalen, obviously.
Elliot, give us someone other than Jalen, maybe one offense, one defense, you leave feeling better about them when camp started.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the obvious answer on offense can always be A.J. Brown and Devontae. You don't want to overlook their greatness. They had outstanding camps. They looked great every day out there. So they stock up on them. But in terms of somebody who I think in my time covering the team, I'm not sure I've ever seen a player go from one year to the other and show this level of improvement would be Britton Covey on the offensive side of the ball. He got a ton of first-team reps on offense at receiver. I thought coming into camp, he wouldn't even see the field with the first-team offense. He caught everything thrown his way. He is really good off of the line of scrimmage. He creates separation almost instantly at the snap of the ball. So, I would say Britton Covey definitely a stock up on the offensive side.
Does he play big enough? Because just watching him, he looks tiny. And he's small.
He is.
So, but, like, in the slot, he's going to be in the middle, right, if he's playing. Did you see him catch the ball in traffic and hold on to it?
Yeah, so there were a few plays he made. Now, obviously, they can't hit in practice. So there is that component to it. But there were a few plays he made where he went up for the ball, caught contested catches. I can think of a play earlier in camp down the left sideline. Jalen put the ball between two defenders. Covey went up and got it. I mean, it was not an easy catch. So he is definitely – it's not all been checkdowns and screens to Covey. He has caught passes beyond 15 yards.
All right, defensively, everyone we've asked, including Reed today, has said N'Kobe Dean. You seem to be very high in N'Kobe. Let me ask you this way. Regardless of what the Eagles are going to do 2 weeks from now, do you think he's one of their two best linebackers?
Yes, I do. I do. And that's not something I would have said prior to camp. I mean, N'Kobe, and he's talked about this, has not been healthy. And I think that's a big part of the reason why he has not kind of got it going at the NFL level. But he's made plays in camp that I didn't think he was capable of making, to be completely honest. He had a pass breakup a few days ago. I think it was Sunday, where he jumped a route that Jalen threw to Devontae, and I thought it was going to be a catch. Like, just watching it live, I was getting ready to write down completion to Devontae, and N'Kobe came out of nowhere and batted it away. I don't think N'Kobe's questions with him in the league have never been, can he play the run? It's never been, can he blitz? We know he can do those things. The question is he good in coverage? And he has really improved in coverage. So when I think about their best two linebackers, like, frankly, it might be Trotter and N'Kobe, but I would say for now it's probably Devin and N'Kobe.
How would you assess, as it's now in the books, the training camp Nick Sirianni had? Because, you know, it was obviously a tumultuous kind of offseason and questions. Yeah. And the one thing I think coming back to what he is still here for, and he talked about this, is the culture is a big part of his job. It feels pretty good right now. Reed was with us last hour, and he said it's as tight of a group he's ever been with throughout a training camp. How would you assess how Sirianni did at camp as his new role, but then also all the other stuff around it?
Yeah, I think Sirianni had an outstanding camp. If you want to say stock up on a coach, I think stock is up on Nick. A lot of the questions this offseason, or really since the end of last season, was, what does he do? Like, what does Nick do? And watching this camp for 16 practices, you could really see Nick's imprint on the team. Obviously, Kellen Moore has a large part to do with the scheme, and he calls the plays on offense. But there was a drill today after practice that I think speaks to what Nick brings as a head coach. So practice was over, training camp was in the books, and all 90 players lined up in the middle of the field, got in like a semicircle, and they did one-on-ones in like a competitive nature. It was Covey versus Cooper DeJean. It was A.J. Brown versus Quinyon. And the players were very into it. They were jumping around. I don't know if you guys could see it from out here, but they were jumping around if it was an incompletion. They were going crazy when, you know, someone made a play. And I think that's what Nick has brought. And outside of that, they've done a lot of situational work, which is where Nick will have to make an impact on Sunday. You know, time management, those type of things. So I do think Nick showed why, as a CEO head coach, he'll still have a very big impact on this team.
Am I wrong in my assessment that it feels like it's been a little bit more upbeat this training camp as opposed to last year's training camp?
Yeah, for sure. I think last year you could feel the team carrying the Super Bowl loss on them. And Nick especially, just being around Nick a few years, in my opinion, he looks like he has a weight off of his shoulder in this camp. I think he looks happier. I think he looks just more like he's enjoying himself out there. And I think that's true for the whole team. Last year, obviously, we know the pressure was on them to go back to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl. But I don't think they ever got over that loss, that team last year. To lose that game the way they did and then come to the realization that you weren't going to do it again, I think that's why the season fell apart. So there is definitely a carefreeness and a lighter tone, I guess I would say, to the team this camp.
All right, last one. Biggest concern heading into season, because it's mostly positive. They're mostly healthy, right? Steen is banged up, and they've had a few guys in and out. DeJean is now back, but health, I think, is pretty good throughout camp. Biggest concern for you 2 weeks till opening day?
So I really only have one concern with this team. It is the right guard spot. The offensive line, I definitely understand if you want to be in Jeff Stoutland We Trust camp. Jeff Stoutland is a Hall of Fame offensive line coach, and he'll probably have them ready to play. But offensive line is a position that is built on continuity. Last year, they talked about that. You know how when you have guys in and out, it's hard to have the checks right at the line. It's hard to know what this guy's going to do. I would guess the starting offensive line, the five guys we project to start, Mailata, Landon, Juergens, Becton, and Lane, took maybe 100 reps in camp together as that five. Like, wow. Maybe it's more, but it certainly is not three-fourths of the snaps that they took. And we're talking about Jalen taking, you know, probably close to 400, 500 snaps. So they had a lot of shuffling around, And I think of all the training camp questions, the right guard is the one spot where they got below average play of what they were hoping for. Steen got benched almost right away, like 2 or 3 days in. And I don't think Becton has looked consistently great. So right guard for me is a major concern.
Elliot, great job here at training camp. We appreciate the coverage, your time on with us on our show. And I, you know what? It lined up perfectly. Relax tomorrow and get yourself a pumpkin spice latte because the season begins.
That's exactly right.
Tomorrow.
Look, I mean, I think the football gods know that with training camp ending, we need a football thing tomorrow.
Yes.
So I will certainly be up and early getting myself a nice pumpkin spice latte.
Can we start with this pumpkin spice?
You want me to bring
spice?
You one
don't
in
like, you don't like pumpkin nah. spice?
Douglas today was like, stop like, with all
you,
the pumpkin.
You didn't like the pumpkin spice wings they had last year? Remember?
No, I do like the pumpkin.
That's
like,
what I'm
I was okay,
yeah,
but it's just too much. Like, you know, the pumpkin spice coffee,
fall, like
the pumpkin spice.
You put a nice scarf on, you put
scents.
A coat on, you get yourself a
pumpkin
spice.
They got pumpkin spice, what
girls
they call
wear
the candles.
Coats, by the way.
Yeah,
what,
true, you don't
coat?
Wear coats, yeah.
I got a coat, like
you get a fly
bucks.
Coat for the fall.
Come on, I got a $30 coat, what you
it's
talking
not
about?
It's like waking up on a football Sunday, Hugh.
Yeah.
There's a chill in the air, you get a pumpkin spice coffee,
I mean, yeah.
and you're going.
The smell reminds you of football.
No, listen. Hopefully in the next couple weeks I have me a place to stay. I have a coat because I got one in Georgia.
Yeah, and then
somewhere.
You got to get yourself a scarf and then walk around the city with a pumpkin spice.
No,
you'll be feeling
not
good.
Doing
yeah,
that.
No, I think that'd
definitely
be a good look for you.
The
you
new know. Hue. Yeah, I can see it.
Yeah,
no,
it'd be good.
No, pumpkin spice. I'm about to say plant based.
Yeah, the plant based well, guy is ripping the pumpkin.
I'd imagine
spice.
There's a lot of crossover. Yeah, with that.
There's probably
yeah.
a ton of it. Yeah. Elliot, we appreciate it.
Awesome.
We will talk
good,
to you soon,
good stuff, guys.
And history made. By Jalen Hurts with the long streak without an interception at camp this year. Let's go back to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Here, we still got the spot to give away. Midday Show Fantasy Football League. Our draft next Wednesday.
Yes.
At Chickies at Pete's. Hugh is promising, or we think he'll promise to stay awake. We'll see.
I'll be awake because I'm not going to take any gummies. I haven't got. Matter of fact, I need to check my mailbox today.
Yeah, well, again,
got a care package coming in. I tell you what, it ain't nothing pumpkin spice.
What about pumpkin spice gummies?
No, it ain't. No, you know what? No, no.
You thought about it. He thought about it.
No.
Who are you blaming most for the Philly slide here? Stars, including Bryce Harper, Topper, Dombrowski. Where do you come down? Let's go to Joe in the Northeast who wants to talk about the Phils here. What's up, Joe?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good,
what's going
Joe.
On,
what's
Joe?
Up?
How you doing?
Your show must be getting pretty popular because I've been on hold almost 3 hours.
Oh, I'm sorry, Joe. I was getting you up. I knew I'd get you. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me tell you. Last few times, you know, you guys might think, well, you know, he's saying the same old stuff. I tell you, this lineup is flawed, and they keep proving it. It's just like, first of all, my guy Stevenson should have played last night, okay? He's only been up, he's hitting 200, right? He's had 11 at-bats, all right? And so a lot of them I haven't seen on TV. I was in the car on the radio, I heard there. But I don't think the kid has swung at one pad pitch. He struck out once, and Fransky said the umpire was a bad call on strike three.
He does have a good sense of the strike zone.
Right.
I mean, I think
yeah.
that kind of stuff usually carries over from the minors. If you have a good sense of the strike zone,
right.
you have it, yeah.
So put them in there. They these guys, not the, you know, last night, Rojas, you know, bases loaded. He's overmatched. You know, he swings up and then he swings it. And then there was another at bat. That ball was so far outside. And it's not only him. It's Realmuto. It's Turner. Okay, they all do, and they're afraid to swing with two strikes. He has. I just rounded off his numbers weeks ago. All the hitters, Baum strikes out the least among the regulars, about one out of every seven at bats. But he swings at the first pitch so many times. He's hitting 290. Yeah, he's the most consistent player they had all year. But what would happen if you maybe take some of those first pitches and you get a better pitch that the pitcher makes a mistake?
Well, he would hit for more power if he did that.
Yeah.
He gets more singles doing it his way. But, yeah, if he got into hitter's counts, he could turn on the ball and hit more home runs.
Yeah, Joe, let me tell you stats on Schwarber, okay? 28 home runs, 19 of them with nobody on base. Five of them, only one runner on, three of them with two runners on,
I feel like he was
and just the grand slam home run he just hit. Okay,
I blame Rojas.
Pardon me? Really?
Well, I blame Rojas.
Why do you blame Rojas?
Because he's the one on. He's the one hits me. Yeah, he's the one.
But what about
Rojas and Marsh? They're not getting on base.
What about the dudes at the top of the order, though? That aren't hitting.
But Schwarber hits first, so the guys in front of him are the eight and the nine.
Yeah, so it's Rojas' fault.
Primarily.
This should have been done earlier. You have Schwarber behind those guys, all right? Now, again, he scored 84 runs, and he's got 88 walks, Schwarber does. Schwarber's going to walk if he's batting five behind Harper. See, I would put Baum behind Turner and have Turner running. And just like I said, if this kid can come in and gets a shot, gets on base a couple times.
What are you doing? You're doing Stevenson one, Turner two?
Only if he gets a little playing time and he shows he can get on base.
I mean, come on.
Yeah, because I want Turner running and let Bob.
Well, unfortunately, and Joe, unfortunately, Turner stopped running because of the leg injury. So, Joe, we appreciate the phone call. All right, guys, what do we think there? Did we jumpstart this thing with Cal Stevenson as the leadoff hitter?
Leadoff hitter.
That's Joe's idea.
I mean, I love Joe. No. Love him to death. And we got to do something about keeping Joe on hold for so long.
Yeah, I'll take the blame for that one.
Okay, you take the hit.
I mean, we had a busy show today. We had Elliot. We had Reed Blankenship. History was made. Breaking news.
You take the blame. I blame Kyle for that.
I mean, Kyle did put him up on the board. I got to get him on the air. I mean, that's on me.
The point is, I'm misplacing blame. That's what I was trying.
I mean, at this point, everybody knows what Joe in the Northeast is calling about, right? Like, I don't even have to put a description up.
We've gone from 0 to 60 fast. First of all, let's get Cal Stevens in the major leagues. Now it's let's
now he's our
leadoff
hitter.
Yeah, I mean, but listen, we need a spark. I'm all for sparks, though. I'm all for a spark. I don't think that's the one, though.
After 2 years, 3 years of yelling about Schwarber as leadoff hitter, Cal Stevens is the one that's going to unseat him.
I don't think that's the.
I don't know if that dog's going to haunt you. I don't think
it is, but we do need a spark, though. We need somebody.
How about the best player on the team wakes up?
I think tonight is the night. I'm optimistic. I think tonight is the
night. I hope it is. I think I heard this last night. I don't think Bryce has a hit against the Braves this season. Like, a single hit.
Ooh.
Let's
get this party started tonight.
Let's go, Ben in Kensington. What's up, Ben?
What's up, gentlemen? How are you doing today?
What's going
good,
on?
Good, Ben.
Man?
What are you thinking?
What's up? Well, first, I just want to ask you a question because I love when you talk about food. But I know you love, how you feel about chocolate. And water ice was just distracting you. How do you feel about chocolate water ice?
That doesn't sound appealing. Like, to be totally honest, that does not – chocolate water ice does not sound appealing.
I think it's underrated.
Oh, my gosh, it's awful.
I think it's underrated. You put it with the gelati.
Seriously?
Yeah, you put it with the custard, and you got yourself a dessert.
No.
No.
Why? Hold on. Have you ever had it?
No.
Kyle, have you ever had it?
No.
Because
I'm never trying.
Okay.
There's some things that you just know in your gut aren't good.
You're being a real Hugh on this one, Kyle.
First of all, Joe, you're Mr. Dark Chocolate over milk chocolate.
I am.
So you can't be trusted.
Because dark chocolate's for grown-ups.
No.
Milk chocolate's for kids.
Dark chocolate stinks.
All right, go ahead, Ben.
Sorry to get you guys on that tangent. But just some of the buzz plays. I was down actually at training camp today, and it was awesome to be down there. They definitely seemed hype. I mean, the vibe seemed great with all the stuff that Elliot was saying. Obviously, right at the beginning with Slay, definitely baited him. I mean, I was down the other side of the field, so I didn't see who the receiver was, but you could see him, like, put it into another gear and just pick that ball off. It was pretty awesome to see. And then also what happened right in front of us was another buzz play was Devontae catching that TD in the back corner of the end zone. That set the crowd, especially right there, because it happened right in front of us. And then transitioning into how the Georgia kids are going to play this year, I mean, the one-on-ones at the end were some of the most fun that the team was having. I'm sure them just going head-to-head, but Nolan Smith easily won his one-on-one. And I feel like as that core group of Georgia players grows into professionals, I think, you know, I'm hoping, again, this is the year that they do take that step, and maybe it was what they needed was Fangio, like a better defensive coach.
It may be. And Ben, with them, I really believe the Georgia guys, it changes the ceiling of the team. Like, you know, if they're okay, they'll probably win, you know, just, I don't know, 9 or 10 games because of the offense. If they're really good and they all take a leap, that's how they get to 12 or 13 wins. That's how it becomes the team everyone hopes for. Like, if they're the players they were drafted to be, those guys.
Oh, absolutely. And if they're having fun like they did in Georgia, you know, who knows?
Yeah, well,
national championship games in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm right. And they bring that culture and all the winning they did there up here. Ben, all right, give us something that makes you feel old. What do you got?
Well, actually, you know, it's coming. It hit me today. I mean, it was going down there with my dad. You know, I mean, I used to go to Lehigh as, like, with my brother and my younger brother and stuff like that. And just going there, you know, he's with Akeen and, you know, just seeing my dad age, you know, unfortunately. Great memories still making with him, but, you know, really hit me when Kyle asked that question. Was today, you know, just walking back to the car and stuff like that. But it also brings back all the memories, you know, from the previous Eagles. And that's why, you know, obviously born and bred to love the city of Philadelphia teams and just, you know, from my father playing Penn State baseball and, you know, teaching me a love for the Phillies and listen to the, you know, Phillies on the radio and stuff like that. It was awesome to be there with him today. And it's definitely making me feel old, like getting to my 40s now, but still going to the training camps and loving being around and getting hyped by the team. So hopefully they're able to have a great year.
Yeah, Ben, that's a good – it's one that hits all of us. It hits me, Ben, personally. I mean, we appreciate the phone call, and then we'll get in the mix for that one. Yeah, I mean, it's like a full circle kind of moment when you come back and get to watch the team. 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get your calls up here. One last segment, your chance to hop in to be part of the Midday Show Fantasy League coming up next Wednesday. Chickies and Peace will do a live draft. Final submissions here for what makes you feel old. And while a Phillies win tonight will make us feel better, something happened to baseball last night that every one of us, every Phillies fan, can be happy about. Can we laugh at the Mets for a few minutes just to feel better? We'll do that. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show, live from Eagles training camp, Sports Radio 94 WIP. You heard us talk a lot about FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, America's number one sportsbook. Well, we have something a little different for you. Now through September 22nd, all FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get a three-week free trial of NFL Sunday Ticket from YouTube and YouTube TV. Then, with a YouTube TV-based plan, you'll be able to watch every regular season Sunday afternoon at a market game. All you need is a Google account and a current forward payment, and you can cancel anytime. By the way, they just changed it where you could pick the four games you want to watch. Instead of a set group of games, you could just mix and match any game you want on Sundays for NFL tickets. Just visit FanDuel.com/GIGLIO to download America's number one sportsbook. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Shot the other way in the left. Nimmo got a great jump, and it's off his glove. It kicks behind him. It's sitting behind the tarp. Mullins will come in to score. And then Young throws down a third, throws it away. It's off the tarp, backed up by Nimmo. Here comes Mountcastle. He scores. Throw to third, not in time. It's an absolute mess.
And they're going to go home.
Play full of wild throws and boneheaded mistakes, and the Orioles get two back. M-E-T-S mess. It's 9-5.
That is a great call. At least when things are not great for the Phillies, we can always count on the Mets to make us laugh. I mean, last week they invited Hawk Tua to throw out the first pitch.
They've been having a rough one, man.
Yeah, and now last night they're throwing the ball all around the field. We're broadcasting live today.
Hawk Tua night is crazy.
Oh, it's wild. From 94 WIP's Camp Comeback at the NovaCare Complex, driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to hitchrv.com. You know, I mean, the Mets aren't terrible, right? They're still in the race. They're a couple games back at the Braves. But they're always good once or twice or three times a season for just like, all right, it could be worse, right? We could be the Mets.
Yeah.
With
it's been like a history of that, though. Like
it's always the Mets.
Yeah, it's like I feel bad for Mets fans because – well, not really. Let me take that back. I don't feel bad for Mets fans. But they've been a part of an organization that has had some tremendous – lows over the last couple of seasons. I'm not going to say the highs. They had some tremendous lows over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, they're the living embodiment of sports of the George Costanza. Every instinct they have is wrong. Like, everything they do is wrong. Last night on the field it was. And that was funny. And it made me feel better seeing and hearing that after the Phillies. So the Phillies lose last night. Tonight, they're in Atlanta for game two. Interesting results here on one of our Twitter poll questions. Do you trust Aaron Nola tonight? I do. Hugh Douglas does. I think Nola's had a fine season. Kyle said he was mid or below mid or whatever he called it.
He is.
He's average mid.
He's better than average.
He said above mid.
He's better than average.
We coined a new phrase.
I mean, he's not a great pitcher, but he's better than average. At least I believe so. Do you trust Aaron Nola tonight? Yes or no? 52% yes, 48% no.
That's not a lot.
It's not.
A lot of people see what I see.
I feel like we're going to fight about Aaron Nola until he's done for his career, and he's going to end up as one of the five greatest pitchers in Phillies history and have a good career and mostly be reliable. I just think he's had a pretty good season. I think he's been better than last year.
He's going to piss everybody off in the process because he's going to allow backbreaking home runs like he always does. He's going to give you about four runs a game.
He's not giving four runs. If his ERA is 3.46, he's not giving four runs a game.
No, but like, you know what I mean. Like, this is sort of, I think if you get away with one of those home runs being a solo shot, then like you're lucky. Like, Aaron Nola is going to let up a home run tonight. You just have to hope it's not a backbreaking three runner or something like that. Like, that's what he does. It's the reality of Aaron Nola.
I think we have a thing with, I mean, he does do that sometimes. I think we have a thing.
He does it all the time.
Well, but you know what? For some reason, the bad Nola nights stick in our mind. And the seven innings, two runs, which, how many times do you think he's done that this year? Three or four or five?
He's let up 22 home runs this year.
Okay. But
That's so many.
If you get a chance, try to see how many times he's gone seven innings, two runs or less. I bet it's close to a handful. And I don't even know if I can remember those games. I just know he's done it.
I mean, like, here's my whole thing. If I'm going to pick one guy between him and, say, Christopher Sanchez, I think Christopher Sanchez's ceiling is higher. He's thrown two complete game shutouts this year. I mean, when his stuff is on, his stuff is on. Like, Aaron Nola's ceiling is like one, two runs.
I don't know about that, though, Kyle.
Hugh, it's true. Sanchez has shut down stuff.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I think between the two, I think in this situation here, I would probably trust Nola more.
Well, Nola throws up meatballs.
We'll see Sanchez tomorrow. By the way, it's six times. He has six starts this year of seven innings, two runs or less.
Those are
dynamite starts.
He has 22 home runs given up. That's way too many. And if they're not solo home runs, then guess what? You have a hole to climb out of.
To be fair, the more innings you pitch, you're going to give it more home runs, right? Like that's part of it, too. If you go six or seven every start, you're going to give up a home, right, but, give some home runs.
But hold on. Christopher Sanchez goes pretty deep into games, too. He doesn't let up nearly as many home runs as Aaron Nola.
Well, he's more of a ground ball pitcher. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, he doesn't.
I'm just saying, I think the ceiling for a start is higher for Christopher Sanchez this year than Aaron Nola.
Well, get ready for this. I mean, we're going to have ourselves this debate leading into October. Who should start game two? And then we get to throw Ranger back in the mix, Hugh. Coming up, he'll start Saturday. All right, quickly, we'll get back to the phone lines. And we know people want to jump in to try to make it into the Fantasy League. Quickly, What about the idea of bringing Hector Neris home? We talked to start the show about the bullpen, obviously the Alvarado thing last night. Hector Neris was released by the Chicago Cubs. I believe he goes to waivers. Mm-hmm. So he, you know, someone could claim him. You know, it starts with the team with the worst record all the way up to the best. So the Phillies are going to have one of the at the end of the line, right? Because they still have one of the best records in baseball. So I don't even know if he's going to get to the Phillies. I would claim him on waivers. I mean, I was a Hector fan when he was here. Now, he's not as quite as good now as he was even a few years ago in Houston when he went to the Astros. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, last night, Hugh, we heard Topper say he didn't want to bring that kid into that situation, so he let Alvarado. They could use another veteran major league reliever instead of a kid that we're not sure should come into a game with the bases loaded. I would bring him back.
He got cut from the Cubs?
He did get cut from the Cubs.
The Cubs?
Are you saying that's a bad sign?
Well, I'm just saying. But again, I mean, the Cubs, though.
Well, okay, so but they're kind of looking towards next year.
Yeah, they're looking to the future.
And they wanted to bring up a young guy.
Okay.
I don't think it was so much he's terrible. I mean, he has a 3.89 ERA. It's not good, but it's also not bad, right?
I mean, I probably wouldn't be I wouldn't be against it, but I guess now you're looking at like clearing waivers. Well, clearing all the teams that you have
right.
to clear.
And he might not get to the Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would bring him back. If Hector reaches them on the waiver wire, I would bring him back. All right, Jay in West Philly wants to talk about Bryce Harper. Oh, of course he does. What's up, Jay?
Hey, was you serious about Rojas being the Schwarber?
Yeah, he bats in front of him, right? Nine in front of
no,
one.
He wasn't,
are you serious?
He
no,
wasn't,
are you
he
serious?
Wasn't,
or was that just a
he joke? Wasn't being he was joking.
Wait, hold on a second. What are we discussing?
Yeah, who are your partners, Schwarber or Hugh Douglas? You
work with Hugh Douglas. I don't understand.
But now
what
doing
is
a
the debate?
Commercial with Schwarber.
Hold on.
Now you're taking up that ball.
Hold on a second. Hold on. As always, Jay comes in with no facts. All right. So you were talking
about. You do a commercial with him, right?
Not with him, for the beer. So hold on a second.
Oh, for the beer. Okay.
Hold on a second. It's for the brewing company, not him. Okay, so hold on. The question. The last caller said that Schwarber's hit most of his home runs with nobody on base or one guy on base. So my mm-hmm. point was, yeah, because the guy that hits before him, which is Rojas most of the time, doesn't get on base. How is
he
that?
Hit a grand slam last week, right?
Because Rojas
so
got on base.
On base in front of him, right?
Right then, but
so if
for
those better hitters up at the top of the lineup, so-called better hitters, then you want to blame Rojas for it. If they get on base, so Schwarber can still hit with people on base, right?
But they bat after him.
Yes or no, Joe? He could hit the swing the bat with people on base, right?
Only if the 7, 8, and 9 got. Do you not understand?
That.
Hold on. Do you understand how a baseball lineup works? The 7, 8, and 9 hitter come up before the one hitter.
But you tell those are the $300 million players. So if they get on base in front of Schwarber can still swing, right?
No, they. What are you talking about? They get up after him.
Answer the question.
No, it doesn't make any sense. They get up after him.
Can he swing the bat with people on base?
If the 7, 8, and 9 hitters get on base, am I in outer space here?
This is a joke, quite frankly.
That's your beer partner, so you're going to stick up for him.
I got to stop. I just want to make sure. No, stop. I need to make sure we all understand how a batting order works in baseball. Trey Turner gets up after Schwarber, and Harper gets up after Schwarber. How do they affect him hitting with guys on base?
Is Trey Turner better than Rojas?
Yes.
Is Bone better than Rojas?
Well, yeah, why ask a question
is
we all
Harper
know the answer?
Is better than Rojas?
Yes, what does that have to do with this?
So they should be able to get on base, right?
But they get
you
up.
You want to blame Rojas for anything. Those $300 million players should be able to get on base.
I'm done.
For Al Kaline.
I'm done. You don't get. All right, go ahead, Jay. What do you want to say about Bryce?
That should be the question there. Do you believe in the pandering? Leave Aaron Nola alone. Do you believe in the pandering, dude?
Pandering,
you know. Do we got any hits against Atlanta, our top competition?
No, none. He does none.
Oh, okay, none. Yeah, all right. But y'all want to blame everybody else in the city for everything else.
I blamed Harper to start the show.
No, he did.
I've been on Harper the whole day.
You won't blame your drinking, buddy, will you?
I said all the star players.
Hold on,
all
Joe.
The star players.
Hold on, Joe. You and Schwarber be drinking together?
No. I would tell you about that.
They got to drink the beers, the promotional beer. You will not.
Hold on. You had a beer with Schwarber? You had
no, I never have, no.
You had no beer with me in a while.
We had a beer.
That's why I say. You got to watch him.
We had some shots down in Atlanta, too.
You got to watch him.
Look, his loyalties is to Schwarber, man. Look, they cut
Jay, you
down.
Don't even know how the lineup works. I'm losing my mind over here.
He will not blame Schwarber for nothing. You can't. Schwarber can only swing the bat when ain't nobody on base, I guess.
Didn't he hit a grand slam last week to win a game?
Exactly, Joe. That's what I'm saying. People was on base. You had to have people on base. They had a grand slam, right?
Yes, and who was on base? The bottom of the order. The bottom of the order got on base that night.
Yeah, it was the bottom of the order, the people that don't get paid all the big money. The panderers up there, they get paid.
I'm gonna stop before I lose my mind here. do you realize Trey Turner literally can't be on base for Schwarber? It can't happen.
He can if he bat fourth or fifth where he belongs.
Well, but he doesn't. He doesn't bat those places. Because that's the way they do it.
28 home runs with 29 RBIs.
What makes you feel old? Because this conversation is making me feel like I'm on death's bed. Jay, what do you got?
Scott Jr.
Who? Trot Jr. makes you feel
already
old.
Said, get lost, Jay.
Oh, well. they
right, I'm out. I
think Jay.
Am I the crazy
on.
One? Or it's like?
No, Jay knows how to push your buttons, man.
But it doesn't make any sense what he's saying.
No, but he it probably doesn't, but Jay knows how to push your buttons.
Probably doesn't. He's saying that Schwarber doesn't get knock those guys in. They hit after him.
Jay waits. And he calls in when he know he can push your buttons, and that's exactly what he does.
Jay will point at the sky and tell me it's green and tell me I'm the crazy one. And the grass is blue.
Yeah, that was funny. He said, that's your drink.
Kyle, I can't handle it.
He is a lot, man.
He is beyond. I mean, that was the.
He said you'll drink it.
I mean, we had a caller 20 minutes ago who made the case Cal Stevenson, who's been in the big leagues 10 seconds to hit leadoff. That last caller made the Cal Stevenson point seem like it was the right idea.
You and Jay basically just did like an Abbott Costello routine where you were going in circles, where he just straight up wasn't understanding what your point
does
was.
Does he get it, or does he get it?
He's picking with
I
you.
I can't tell with him sometimes, honestly.
Yeah, he's definitely picking with you.
I can't handle it.
Shot the other way in the left. Nimmo got a great jump, and it's off his glove. It kicks behind him. It's sitting behind the tarp. Mullins will come in to score. And then Young throws down to third, throws it away. It's off the tarp, backed up by Nimmo. Here comes Mountcastle. He scores. Throw to third, not in time. It's an absolute mess.
And they're going to go home.
Play full of wild throws and boneheaded mistakes, and the Orioles get two back. M-E-T-S mess. It's 9-5.
That is a great call. At least when things are not great for the Phillies, we could always count on the Mets to make us laugh. I mean, last week they invited Hawk Tua to throw out the first pitch.
They've been having a rough one, man.
Yeah, and now last night they're throwing the ball all around the field. We're broadcasting live today.
Hawk Tua night is crazy.
Oh, it's wild. From 94 WIP's Camp Comeback at the NovaCare Complex, driven by Hitch RV. Hitch RV, your premier family-owned dealership. For locations, go to hitchrv.com. You know, I mean, the Mets aren't terrible, right? They're still in the race. They're a couple games back of the Braves. But they're always good once or twice or three times a season for just like, all right, it could be worse, right? We could be the Mets.
Yeah.
With
it's been like a history of that, though. Like
it's always the Mets.
Yeah, it's like I feel bad for Mets fans because – well, not really. Let me take that back. I don't feel bad for Mets fans. But they've been a part of an organization that has had some tremendous – lows over the last couple of seasons. I'm not going to say the highs. They had some tremendous lows over the last couple of seasons.
Yeah, they're the living embodiment of sports of the George Costanza. Every instinct they have is wrong. Like, everything they do is wrong. Last night on the field it was. And that was funny. And it made me feel better seeing and hearing that after the Phillies. So the Phillies lose last night. Tonight, they're in Atlanta for game two. Interesting results here on one of our Twitter poll questions. Do you trust Aaron Nola tonight? I do. Hugh Douglas does. I think Nola's had a fine season. Kyle said he was mid or below mid or whatever he called it.
He is.
He's average mid.
He's better than average.
He said above mid.
He's better than average.
We coined a new phrase.
I mean, he's not a great pitcher, but he's better than average. At least I believe so. Do you trust Aaron Nola tonight? Yes or no? 52% yes, 48% no.
That's not a lot.
It's not.
A lot of people see what I see.
I feel like we're going to fight about Aaron Nola until he's done for his career, and he's going to end up as one of the five greatest pitchers in Phillies history and have a good career and mostly be reliable. I just think he's had a pretty good season. I think he's been better than last year.
He's going to piss everybody off in the process because he's going to allow backbreaking home runs like he always does. He's going to give you about four runs a game. And
well, he's not giving four runs. If his ERA is 3.46, he's not giving four runs a game.
No, but like you know what I mean. Like this is sort of, I think if you get away with one of those home runs being a solo shot, then like you're lucky. Like Aaron Nola is going to let up a home run tonight. You just have to hope it's not a backbreaking three runner or something like that. Like that's what he does. It's the reality of Aaron Nola.
I think we have a thing with, I mean, he does do that sometimes. I think we have a thing.
He does it all the time.
Well, but you know what? For some reason, the bad Nola nights stick in our mind. And the 7 innings, 2 runs, which, how many times do you think he's done that this year?
He's
3 or 4 or 5?
He's let up 22 home runs this year.
Okay. But
That's so many.
If you get a chance, try to see how many times he's gone 7 innings, 2 runs or less. I bet it's close to a handful. And I don't even know if I can remember those games. I just know he's done it.
I mean, like, here's my whole thing. If I'm going to pick one guy between him and, say, Christopher Sanchez, I think Christopher Sanchez's ceiling is higher. He's thrown 2 complete game shutouts this year. I mean, when his stuff is on, his stuff is on. Like, Aaron Nola's ceiling is like 1-2 runs.
I don't know about that, though, Kyle.
Hugh, it's true. Sanchez has shut down stuff.
No, I hear what you're saying, but I think between the two, I think in this situation here, I would probably trust Nola more.
Well, Nola throws up meatballs.
We'll see Sanchez tomorrow. By the way, it's 6 times. He has 6 starts this year of 7 innings, 2 runs or less.
Those, like, congrats.
Those are dynamite starts.
He has 22 home runs given up. That's way too many. And if they're not solo home runs, then guess what? You have a hole to climb out of.
To be fair, the more innings you pitch, you're going to give it more home runs, right? Like that's part of it, too. If you go 6 or 7 every start, you're going to give up a home, right, but, some home runs.
But hold on. Christopher Sanchez goes pretty deep into games, too. He doesn't let up nearly as many home runs as Aaron Nola.
Well, he's more of a ground ball pitcher. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, he doesn't.
I'm just saying, I think the ceiling for a start is higher for Christopher Sanchez this year than Aaron Nola.
Well, get ready for this. I mean, we're going to have ourselves this debate leading into October. Who should start game 2? And then we get to throw Ranger back in the mix, Hugh. Coming up, he'll start Saturday. All right, quickly, we'll get back to the phone lines. And we know people want to jump in to try to make it into the Fantasy League. Quickly, what about the idea of bringing Hector Neris home? We talked to start the show about the bullpen, obviously the Alvarado thing last night. Hector Neris was released by the Chicago Cubs. I believe he goes to waivers. Mm-hmm. So someone could claim him. You know, it starts with the team with the worst record all the way up to the best. So the Phillies are going to have one of the at the end of the line, right? Because they still have one of the best records in baseball. So I don't even know if he's going to get to the Phillies. I would claim him on waivers. I mean, I was a Hector fan when he was here. Now, he's not quite as good now as he was even a few years ago in Houston when he went to the Astros. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I mean, last night, Hugh, we heard Topper say he didn't want to bring that kid into that situation, so he let Alvarado. They could use another veteran major league reliever instead of a kid that we're not sure should come into a game with the bases loaded. I would bring him back.
He got cut from the Cubs?
He did get cut from the Cubs.
The Cubs?
Are you saying that's a bad sign?
Well, I'm just saying. But again, I mean, the Cubs, though.
Well, okay. So, but they're kind of looking towards next year.
Yeah, they're looking to the future.
And they wanted to bring up a young guy.
Okay.
I don't think it was so much he's terrible. I mean, he has a 3.89 ERA. It's not good, but it's also not bad, right?
I mean, I probably wouldn't be. I wouldn't be against it. But I guess now you're looking at, you know, like clearing waivers. Well, clearing all the teams that you have
right
to clear.
And he might not get to the Phillies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would bring him back. If Hector reaches them on the waiver wire, I would bring him back. All right, Jay in West Philly wants to talk about Bryce Harper. Oh, of course he does. What's up, Jay?
Hey, was you serious about Rojas being the Schwarber?
Yeah, he bats in front of him, right? 9 in front of 1.
No, he wasn't. He was joking.
Wait, hold on a second. What are we discussing?
Yeah, who are your partners, Schwarber or Hugh Douglas?
I don't understand. What is the debate?
Commercial with Schwarber.
Hold on.
Now you're taking up that ball.
Hold on a second. Hold on. As always, Jay comes in with no facts. All right. So you were talking
about. You do a commercial with him, right?
Not with him. For the beer. So hold on a second.
Oh, for the beer. Okay.
Hold on a second. It's for the brewing company, not him. Okay. So hold on. The last caller said that Schwarber's hit most of his home runs with nobody on base or one guy on base. So my point was, yeah, because the guy that hits before him, which is Rojas most of the time, doesn't get on base. How is that?
He hit a grand slam last week, right?
Because Rojas got on base.
On base in front of him, right?
Right then. But
so if those better hitters up at the top of the lineup, so-called better hitters than you want to blame Rojas for, if they get on base, so Schwarber can still hit with people on base, right?
But they bat after him.
Yes or no, Joe? He could hit the swing the bat with people on base, right?
Only if the 7, 8, and 9 got. Do you not understand? Hold on. Do you understand how a baseball lineup works? The 7, 8, and 9 hitter come up before the 1 hitter.
But you tell those are the $300 million players. So if they get on base in front of Schwarber, Schwarber can still swing, right?
No, they what are you talking about? They get up after him.
Answer the question.
No, it doesn't make any sense. They get up after him.
Can he swing the bat with people on base?
If the 7, 8, and 9 hitters get on base, am I in outer space here?
This is a joke, quite frankly.
That's your beer partner, so you're going to stick up for him.
I got to stop. I just want to make sure. Stop. I need to make sure we all understand how a batting order works in baseball. Trey Turner gets up after Schwarber, and Harper gets up after Schwarber. How do they affect him hitting with guys on base?
Is Trey Turner better than Rojas?
Yes.
Is Bone better than Rojas?
Well, yeah, why ask a question we all know the answer?
Is better than Rojas?
Yes, what does that have to do with this?
So they should be able to get on base, right?
But they get
up. You want to blame Rojas for everything. Those $300 million players should be able to get on base.
I'm done.
For Al Kaline.
I'm done. You don't get. All right, go ahead, Jay. What do you want to say about Bryce?
That should be the question there. Do you believe in the pandering? Leave Aaron Nola alone. Do you believe in the pandering, dude?
Pandering,
we got any hits against Atlanta, our top competition?
No, none. He does none.
Oh, okay, none. Yeah, all right. But y'all want to blame everybody else in this city for everything else.
I blamed Harper to start the show.
No, he did.
I've been on Harper the whole day.
You won't blame your drinking, buddy, will you?
I said all the star players.
Hold on,
Joe. All the star players.
Hold on, Joe. You and Schwarber be drinking together?
No. I would tell you about that.
They got to drink the beers, the promotional beer. You will not.
Hold on. You had a beer with Schwarber?
No, I never have.
You had no beer with me in a while.
We had a beer.
That's why I say. You got to watch him.
We had some shots down in Atlanta, too.
You got to watch him.
Look, his loyalties is to Schwarber, man. Look, they cut
Jay, you don't even know how the lineup works. I'm losing my mind over here.
He will not blame Schwarber for nothing. You can't. Schwarber can only swing the bat when ain't nobody on base, I guess.
Didn't he hit a grand slam last week to win a game?
Exactly, Joe, that's what I'm saying. People was on base. You had to have people on base. They hit a grand slam, right?
Yes, and who was on base? The bottom of the order got on base that night.
Was the bottom of the order, the people that don't get paid all the big money. The panderers up there, they get paid.
I'm gonna stop before I lose my mind here. do you realize Trey Turner literally can't be on base for Schwarber? It can't happen.
He can if he bat fourth or fifth where he belongs.
Well, but he doesn't. He doesn't bat those places. Because that's the way they do it.
28 home runs with 29 RBIs.
What makes you feel old? Because this conversation is making me feel like I'm on death's bed. Jay, what do you got?
Scott Jr.
Who? Trot Jr. makes you feel
already
old.
Said, get lost, Jay.
I'm out.
I think Jay.
Am I the crazy one? Or like?
No, Jay knows how to push your buttons, man.
But it doesn't make any sense what he's saying.
No, but it probably doesn't, but Jay knows how to push your buttons.
Probably doesn't. He's saying that Schwarber doesn't get knock those guys in. They hit after him.
Jay waits. And he calls in when he know he can push your buttons, and that's exactly what he does.
Jay will point at the sky and tell me it's green and tell me I'm the crazy one. And the grass is blue.
Yeah, that was funny. That was funny. He said, that's your drink.
Kyle, I can't handle it. I
he is a lot, man.
He is beyond. I mean, that was the.
He said you'll drink.
I mean, we had a caller 20 minutes ago who made the case Cal Stevenson, who's been in the big leagues 10 seconds, to hit leadoff. That last caller made the Cal Stevenson point seem like it was the right idea.
You and Jay basically just did like an Abbott Costello routine where you were going in circles, where he just straight up wasn't understanding what your point was.
Does he get it, or does he get it?
He's picking with you.
I can't tell with him sometimes, honestly.
Yeah, he's definitely picking with you.
I can't handle it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.